generous support for Coastal Windage comes from Cameron's Restaurant Pub and Inn, and now RV Park. Cameron's is the only true British pub on the coastside, featuring 19 beers on tap and more than 60 brands of bottles. Come for the food and stay for the fun. Happy hour specials Monday through Friday. Open mic night on Thursday and karaoke on Friday and Saturday. Cameron's Restaurant Pub in Half Moon Bay.
Broadcasting live from the KHMB studios in downtown Half Moon Bay. This is Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast. The Coastside's own live call-in talk radio show. From Pescadero to Pacifica and beyond, this is the place for Coastside issues, hot topics, and you. And now, the host of Coastal Windage, Mr. Ruben Truthmaker, and his co-host, Crystalyn.
All right, it's here. It's Pumpkin Festival weekend. Good morning, Coastsiders. Good morning, Crystalyn.
Good morning.
It's Friday, October 17th, 2025. We're on the eve. Pumpkin Festival Eve, PFE. And this is our special Pumpkin Festival episode of Windage. Right? I mean, this is the Coastside's moment every year. Okay, this is Coastal Windage, Talk of the Coast. You know that. Yada yada, every Friday, 9 to 10, 100.9 FM, Rockin' 1710 AM, right here on KHMB Radio. Let me also add that KHMB Radio is your community radio station, and we live for this kind of stuff. So whether it's Dream Machines or 4th of July or Pumpkin Festival, KHMB is out there. I just want to let people know that KHMB will be out and about this weekend in their broadcasting live from the KHMB mobile unit. Saturday and Sunday, 9 to 3, look for them around. Interviews, we have KHMB swag? Why are we getting the KHMB swag? We've got Coastal Windage swag. Okay. KHMB swag and music, all commercial free this weekend. So look for the KHMB mobile unit out and about. Say hi. Get some swag. Okay. That's what we do here at KHMB. We are the community radio station for the Coastside. And like I said, we live for this stuff. All right. As I mentioned, this is our special Pumpkin Festival episode that we do every year, because guess what? Pumpkin Festival happens every year. This is the 53rd annual Pumpkin Festival. I think the first one was in 1971. Me and Frank were alive then. And that's it in this room. Just me and Frank. The only ones in this room right now, well, the 27 people in this room right now that were alive when the Pumpkin Festival started. Okay, let's get into today's topics. As we've got a packed show, as always, everybody knows one of my endearing characteristics. I'm just so positive all the time. Did you look at the script? Because that was really quick on the trigger finger there. Like, Frank is paying attention this morning. But this is just, how can you not be positive on Pumpkin Festival weekend and be excited and happy? And, I mean, Cameron ordered the good weather. Thank you, Cameron Palmer. Yes, he got us the good weather. Probably had to pay a little extra for that, but, you know, Cameron always comes through. So the weather's going to be awesome. So in our Pumpkin Festival episode here, we're talking about the new pumpkin champion is crowned, okay, for the pumpkin weigh-off. We've got a primer on Pumpy Fest, so everything there is to do and when to do it and all that fun stuff. But then our lead-off segment is going to be The Kids Are All Right, Half Moon Bay High School Homecoming 2025. Talk about your positive story. So we'll get to that shortly. Let's do the air quality report. Everybody else gives you traffic and weather. Guess what? The weather's great. Traffic's light. We're done. But Frank is... I says, don't give Frank coffee in the morning. Then he's just like a madman on the Foley box. Okay. We give you the live air quality report so you know. I mean, we're in it for your health. I mean, that's really like traffic and weather. I mean, what does that have to do with your health? but this is the air you breathe. Okay, remember the scale, 0 to 50, incredible, 51 to 100, good. We don't even deal with over 100 because we never have to deal with it here. A couple of times, like the Paradise Fire, the CZZ Fire, yes. Other than that, we're always in the incredible range, as we are again today. 15 in El Granada, 16 in Half Moon Bay, 33 in Redwood City, 22 in Santa Cruz, and our Easter egg location of the day. If you can figure out why we picked this location, give us a call and you'll pick up some windage bucks. These are real things. About $100 worth of discounts to 13 local businesses and restaurants. Call in and get some windage bucks. Okay. Today in Santa Rosa, California. That's our Easter egg location.
This one I actually know.
Okay. Nice. All right. Well, you are ineligible. Employees and whatever of Coastal Windage, not eligible. Oh, my goodness. All right.
I think he's going for a record of most sound effects in 1 hour.
Okay, the two interns closest to Frank, you're going to have to step up. Now he's got the interns joining him. Okay, there's been a revolt here at Coastal Windage. Anyways, today in Santa Rosa, 25. Okay, Windage Bucks, get your Windage Bucks, call in 650-560-9851. It's worth it. Okay, all you got to do is call. Couple quick notes. After denying it for months, what? There's no problem here. What do you mean? Despite the number of cars piling up, guess what? Caltrans is back out at the horseshoe curve, monitoring and making adjustments. I mean, again, like, the tone in my voice is because the first words out of their mouth for several weeks, if not months, was, there's no problem here. What are you talking about? Slow down. And then for the last, like, then once somebody actually went out there and saw that there was a clogged drain or whatever, now they've been kind of tinkering with it for a year now. And apparently still not tinkered with it enough. Starting the 25th of this month, so what is that, next Friday, the slow lane on the eastbound part of that section of 92 is going to be closed. So just heads up on that while they monitor and make adjustments. Quote, monitor and make adjustments. Okay. Thank you, Caltrans, for denying, and then, oh, yeah, there is a problem. Also this weekend, there's going to be the another iteration of the No Kings protests up and down the coastside. Some people are worried about it. I don't see what the problem is. If you've seen these protests before, there's just people standing by the side of the road. They will be standing by the side of the road this weekend, too. Whether you support the cause or not, hopefully you will support the right of people to express their opinion, even when it differs from your own. Just be considerate and respectful of your fellow humans. I would say that to the No Kings protesters, too. Let's just stay out of the street. Be positive. You know, your people are coming here from outside the community. What you're saying is valid, or, you know, your right to say it is valid, but let's just let's make the coastside proud, okay? Thousands of people from beyond the coastside are going to be here this weekend. Whether you're protesting as part of No Kings, whether you disagree with that, whether you're just here for the Pumpkin Festival, whether you're just existing in your skin, role model the behavior you want to see in others, okay? Please. That's a simple thing. What is the golden rule is do unto others as you would have them do unto you? Yeah, exactly.
And we should know it's a national movement, correct?
The No Kings thing?
Yeah.
It's not just here this weekend.
Because some people feel like they're just that the people who go out are doing it because it's Pumpkin Festival, but it's nationally, it's the day that people are doing it just happened to land on Pumpkin Festival.
Yeah, I think I saw some chatter that the No Kings people were like not thrilled that it was, you know, they were like, oh, it's Pumpkin Festival, we'll get all this attention. I think that actually it may diffuse the, you know, focus on their movement. So, anyways, like I said, please, folks, role model the behavior you want to see in others. Julie Engelman News, friend of the show and uber-talented artist Julie Engelman, has opened her very own studio right here in downtown Half Moon Bay, 707 Mill Street, to be exact, right in the very heart of downtown.
It's so cute.
Is it? Have you been in there?
Yes, of course. She's decorated it beautifully.
What? I'm what?
Shock.
I
shock.
Know. It's right across from It's Italia. If you're looking, who's Julie Engelman? Who could say that? What? Julie, come on, we're talking about Julie Engelman here. If you're looking for some of Julie's art, you don't have to look very far, especially this weekend. You can look on the south side of Cunha's General Store, where in 2022 she added the giant kind of pumpkin festival mural, or the giant mural on the side of the IDES building that she created earlier this year, or you can learn more about Julie and these two murals by listening to our live studio interviews with her on our September 9th, 2022, and June 6th, 2025 episodes. We love Julie. We love having her on the show. We love her art. And in the spirit of Pumpkin Festival, this weekend Julie will open her studio and have materials for kids to make pumpkin decorations. And here's, she will personally be doing face painting for anybody who drops by.
Aww.
If I got an original Julie Engelman painted on my face, I might never shower again. I mean,
ew.
Yeah, I guess that maybe that wasn't. But here's where that thought process was going. I wonder how much an original Engelman face painting will be worth on Antiques Roadshow in 20 years. I mean, right? Also, would help preserve. You know, just cake it on, Julie, and maybe help preserve this sagging relic of a face here. No, Frank. Okay.
I just want to say nobody wants this.
Nobody wants to see the sagging face or 20-year-old face.
20 years of face paint.
Wouldn't that be hilarious, though, if you tuned into Antiques Roadshow and there's, like, some haggard old person like myself on there. It's like, yeah, I got this face painting 20 years ago.
I feel like if that was something that could be capitalized on, the band Kiss would have been first in line.
Okay. Speaking of Kiss, Ace Frehley passed away, founding member of Kiss, yesterday.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I thought Gene Simmons would be the first to go, but Ace Frehley, the guitar player for Kiss.
Oh.
Yep. Yep. He's jamming with Jerry up in the sky now. Okay. Just want to get to a couple of emails because these came in like a couple of weeks ago, and I just want to honor people that send emails. The problem
you've
with
got mail.
Okay. Windage Bucks to anybody who can call in and say one of two places where that saying is from. Okay, where would you have heard that? There's two obvious things that come to mind. Windage Bucks, for somebody calls in, 650-560-9851. The problem with the emails is I let the interns pick them, and if listeners of the show will notice, somehow every email that we get is like down on Ruben. You know, it's like poking at Ruben, and so I just... So I'm always a little anxious when I dive into the pile of emails here. So we'll just start with this one. This one's from Todd in Moss Beach. Ranch is open, subject line. Hey, Ruben, I heard you say yesterday, this would have been a couple of weeks ago we talked about this. I heard you say yesterday that Rancho Corral de Tierra, which is part of the Golden Gate National Recreation Area behind like kind of the mid-coast, Rancho Corral de Tierra is closed because of the government shutdown. Not true. Even the restrooms, and then he has put in parentheses, there aren't any restrooms, are marked as staying open, smiley face. And I say to this, exactly, Todd. I'm not sure how much attention the Park Service is giving to Rancho Corral de Tierra as part of the GGNRA on their website. Here's the total sum of information on the GGNRA red site for Rancho Corral de Tierra. Restrooms open. And, in fact, Todd, there is a restroom at the bottom of Old San Pedro Mountain Road, a lovely handicap-accessible porta-potty with the door usually flapping open in the wind and some toilet paper trailing out the front of it. So there is a restroom. Also, this is the only other piece of information about the GGNRA Rancho Corral de Tierra unit. Equestrian leases will continue to operate. That's it. We got a phone call in just a second. Let me just finish this, and we'll get to that phone call. Hold on a second, caller. I had read some information that GGNRA would be closed. Parts of it are, parts of it aren't. It's hard to tell from the website. But per Todd's email, we put the interns on it. They called GGNRA. The only option was to leave a message, which they tried to do. The recording indicated that nobody's monitoring the phone because, oh yeah, there's a federal government shutdown. Interns left a message anyways. At the end of the leaving of the message, the recording redirected them back to the website, which has almost no information. Loop closed. There you go. So we took the Coastal Windage News mountain bikes out to Corral last weekend and found no information, no rangers, and no evidence of closure. Therefore, have at it, people. It's open. Go enjoy. All right, we've got a caller. Who we got on the phone this morning?
It's Penny P.
Okay, Packer, what's, are you calling for some windage bucks?
Sure.
Okay. What's on your mind?
One, I think your secret location is the location where the pumpkin grower is from.
Wait, secret location? Oh.
The
Easter egg?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pumpkin grower? Who? What? You have to be... I'm sorry, Penny, this is a very precise show.
Facts.
You have to...
We deal in facts.
Hello? What? Are you and Frank in cahoots this morning? Frank. Oh, my goodness. All right.
Okay, I think his name is like Brandon.
But we have many pumpkin growers.
Brandon Dawson.
Yes.
I think he's from Santa Rosa.
And why is Brandon Dawson important?
Because he won the weigh-off for the largest pumpkin at 2,346 pounds.
Okay, wow. There we go. Okay. And, ladies and gentlemen, windage bucks for Penny Packer. Okay, after the call, Penny Packer, stay on the line. Frank, the engineer, will get your information. Good job. I think
you've got mail is from AOL.
Hello? You only get one? No, hold on.
No.
Is from what? AOL?
AOL.
One of... Okay, don't say the other one if you know it, because you only get one windage bucks per day, per episode. So you got your windage bucks, and you... Now, there's still one opportunity, folks, to get windage bucks out there. Okay, Penny Packer, that was an awesome answer. Really, we know that you spend time back and forth between the greater Midwest and here, but you obviously are dialed in to Pumpkin Festival. Are you coming this weekend?
I wish. I mean, if the guy from Minnesota the past few years had won, what's his name?
Travis Geiner. Yep.
Yeah, but he didn't, so no, I will not be visiting. However, I was there this summer, and I could have used some windage bucks, so you can donate my windage bucks to whomever you see fit.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe we'll pass them out at Pumpkin Festival.
There you go.
This weekend. Okay, well, thanks for the call, Penny Packer. Really appreciate it. Great answer. Thank you. You know, if you want to have us mail you the windage bucks, they're good for a year. So we could do that. So give Frank your information, and we will look forward to hearing from you again.
All right. Sounds good.
Nice call, Penny Packer. Okay. All right, that's how we do it here at Coastal Windage. That was a great call. And while I was listening to Penny Packer, I'm skipping this next email because it's getting a little personal and political. We don't do that here. This is Pumpkin Festival weekend. Okay. I'm just straight blindly looking at this one from listener T, just the letter T. Okay. Coastside Caltrans mystery solved. This was from a couple weeks ago. I think we talked about, or maybe it was last week, that the big Sarah statue, Junipero Sarah statue, is gone, and we came up with a theory of what happened to the Gaspar de Portola statue. T writes, pretty dirty pool, Mr. Truthmaker. You clickbaited me with your Caltrans mystery headline. I thought you had finally gotten to the bottom of the story behind your favorite crosswalk. Okay. Well, I am a master clickbaiter, so I'm not surprised you were lured in. As for the crosswalk, some things are possibly forever unknowable. Our Portola statue theory is just that. We don't know what happened to it. It's just a theory. However, we do know that the Sarah statue was rolled up in a carpet and hauled away in the trunk of a 65 Eldorado in the dead of night by Caltrans. So we do know that. Moving on. Okay. Ooh. Whoa. I mean, here we go. I guess you just got to give stuff away is the thing.
Yeah.
Okay. We got a caller who's on the line this morning.
Oh, hi, it's Cameron Palmer.
Cameron Palmer! Cameron, thanks for throwing down the extra money for the great weather. I mean, you nailed it.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. We even had to slip a little bribe in for the weigh-off, for it not to weigh until the weigh-off was over. So,
I woke up that Monday morning worried. Like, you know, it was raining, but then I saw pictures of it, and guess what? Again, I mean, you're Cameron Palmer. That's all you have to do is just say, I'm Cameron Palmer. And even the heavens part for you.
Well, you know, your Chamber of Commerce gal has a lot of connections there, too. So thank you, Crystal Lynn.
Thank you. It's a team effort.
Yes, it really is. Hey, I don't know if you've touched on this yet or not, but who our Grand Marshal is yet this year. Did you?
We haven't gotten to that. We've got a whole back section of the show as a primer, but why don't you? I know who it is because I love the rings. So why don't you tell us, Cameron?
There you go. 4-time Super Bowl winner of the 49ers, Mr. Jesse Cipolla, is going to be our Grand Marshal, and we are so honored to have him in the parade. So, of course, the parade is 12 noon, and along with the giant pumpkin, winning pumpkin, we have the Grand Marshal, Jesse Cipolla, that'll be there as well.
Let me pile on here with Jesse Cipolla. Great choice. Because not just, you know, a nine, or not, he wasn't just on the nine. 4 Super Bowl championships, as you mentioned. All pro a couple times. Here's what I love about Jesse Cipolla and your choice, Cameron. 15-year, his entire career, drafted by the Niners, spent his entire 15-year career with the Niners, 83 to 97. Like, talk about the glory years and just like a key person on that team. Jesse Cipolla.
You know, I love that too because you don't get a player that stays on the same team anymore. And that's old school and I love it. He's a great guy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. The thing is, though, Jesse Cipolla, you're going to need like a whole, you know, like a 59 El Dorado to get Jesse Cipolla in there. Jesse is a large gentleman.
He is, but we have a plan, and I'm not going to tell you what it is, but you'll like what we did when you see how we've figured out how he's going to be in the parade.
Can't wait. That's 12 noon, the Great Pumpkin Parade, Saturday.
Do not
miss it.
Yeah, one other shout-out, and I have to thank Supervisor Ray Mueller, and Crystal Lynn knows where I'm going with this. We've been lobbying him for years, and we had a meeting over at the county courthouses the other day. Our sheriff bills have been out of control for a 2-day festival. They've been in the $70,000 range. We were able to negotiate a deal. Our sheriff bill this year is going to be $25,000. And that's another $50,000 that we can give back to our local nonprofits.
That is amazing, Cameron.
Yep. I'm just we're pretty happy.
Incredible work. Kudos to you and Supervisor Mueller, who we love on the show here. That really puts you in a better financial standing, not only this year, but going forward, right? Because we had talked Coastside Gives Day a few months ago how Half Moon Bay Beautification Committee was participating in that for the first time because of the incredibly rising expenses associated with Pumpkin Festival. This is definitely going to help that.
It certainly is, and we're going to see what we can do about making some more improvements next year on other categories. But anyway, it's all good news. Can't wait to see everyone at the Pumpkin Festival this weekend.
Yeah, great job to you, Cameron, as always. And everybody's all smiles, and this weekend is going to be amazing.
Yep, and a little plug for Crystal Lynn. Stop by the Chamber of Commerce wine booth.
She's
got 2 of them this year, and they do a great job, and it's going to be fun. In fact, Crystal Lynn, where's your new location?
We will be on the corner of Kelly and Main, right near the beautiful mural in front of Cunha Market. Thank you very much. So we'll have a booth at Correas in Main and Kelly in Main.
All right. I know they'll be busy.
Thank you.
Okay, folks. Take care, y'all. Thank you.
Thank you, Cameron. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Cameron Palmer, ladies and gentlemen, as we've discussed many times, pretty much a slam dunk first ballot Coastside Hall of Fame person, right? And, Crystalline, you're kind of, Hall of Fame is about not only the accolades, but the longevity of your career. You're making massive inroads into getting to that first ballot status.
Aw, thank you.
Okay. What was that, Frank? 5 minutes to the commercial? No, 4 minutes. Okay, that's fine. We've got plenty of time. We went through the email bag. I mean, there's a stack of email here, which I love. But let's start getting on. We'll start on this topic, and we'll finish it on the other side of the commercial. The kids are all right. I know that listeners of the show know that I worry a lot about our youths, you know, especially after the pandemic, right? It just really disrupted their everything, grades, learning, social interaction, sports participation, best practices of all kinds suffered mightily during the pandemic and its aftermath, and many have wondered if life will ever be the same and if our society can fully recover. Well, we're 5 years out now, and here's the good news. It maybe has taken a couple years, but yes, we're starting to see that maybe we are coming out of the pandemic rain shadow. We won't know the full effect of it for about 20 years to see how it plays out as these kids from the pandemic age into adulthood, parenthood, and the workforce. But again, I am here to tell you folks, I saw a glimpse of the future last Friday, and there is reason for hope. Specifically, I'm talking about the 2025 homecoming weekend, the whole series of events at Half Moon Bay High School. Now, we are not a news program. But we can't help but sometimes be the first and sometimes the only news outlet to provide important information on Coastside News. And in fact, we are going to present information in the next few minutes that you cannot find anywhere else. Anywhere, surprisingly, shockingly, anywhere else, not on Coastside News, not on Nextdoor, except for the Coastal Windage Post, not even on the Half Moon Bay High School website. Okay, we'll back that up for a minute. The homecoming assembly at the high school last Friday was, as the kids say, off the chain. No?
80s kids?
What?
What kids say that?
Okay, well, see, this is how awesome the interns are at weaving together these story elements. They told me off the chain was current, but no. Okay. Well, anyway.
I don't profess to know what the kids today say, but that was old when I was
what?
Young.
Well, but still relevant because the theme for homecoming this year was dancing through the decades. So some decade in there off the chain applies, right?
A real hot saying.
Okay. I mean, it was new to me.
Super rad.
Yeah. Okay, now that I remember. Totally rad. All right, at the assembly last Friday, which Coastal Windage got an invite, because, you know, we're Coastal Windage, so, you know, sometimes we get these VIP invitations. Anyways, we attended. Each class, freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, each class revealed their mural. So if you've been to the high school gym, at each of the four corners of the high school gym is a giant mural for each class. And every year, you know, they get new murals there. So the murals were revealed and judged upon as to which one was the best. Each mural tied to the decade assigned to each class. The freshmen were assigned the 70s, sophomores 80s, juniors 90s, and the seniors the aughts. The freshman mural was a VW bus with a Coastside flavor to it, right? A VW with like a surfboard and some palm trees and stuff. It was pretty cute. The sophomores had pop culture and music with like album covers and logos and stuff from bands from the 80s, which I remember. I mean, the 80s, I was alive then. We'll just leave it at that. Juniors had 1990s, and their mural was kind of like a Miami Vice meets Endless Summer type of look. It was pretty cool.
All right, I'll take it.
Yep, and the seniors, they had the aughts. They had a kind of a DJ-inspired thing with a DJ turntable stand and graffiti and stylized. It was all very nice. The seniors won. In my opinion, I mean, yeah, they were all great. I thought the juniors' mural, for my artistic bent, yeah.
Sensibility.
Yeah, exactly. I thought that one was pretty cool. You know what would have been cool, though? One of those classes should have got Julie Engelman to do there.
Oh, my gosh.
Right? What if
she's
we had,
busy enough.
What if we had Julie Engelman and Jane Kim and like, what Pete? What's Pete's left? There's another
guy. Oh, Pete Colm.
Yeah. Like, that's the... Oh, can you imagine the murals then?
This is about the kids, not the professionals.
Ah, okay. All right, I hear you. Okay, and let's just pause that thought on Homecoming 2025 while we take a break for this commercial message.
This is Community Radio for the Coast Side.
100.9 KHMB.
Coastal Windage is brought to you by Cameron's Restaurant and Pub in Half Moon Bay. Come for the food, stay for the fun. That's Cameron's Restaurant and Pub on Highway 1 in Half Moon Bay.
Coastal Windage. I'll be along with Stan Warren Luttrell getting a check of your weather. Also, we'll take a look at today in history. And don't forget our forgotten find. All comes your way right after Coastal Windage on your Friday morning from 100.9 FM KHMB.
All right, and we're back. Okay, now we get into the speed round. We only have 29 minutes left. Somehow this happens every week. All right, so... And so they had the murals, mm-hmm. and then each class had representatives from their class come onto the gym floor and do a dance medley of music from their decade, which was super fun. Let me just back up and say the gym was rocking.
That's the cutest thing I've ever heard.
The gym was packed. The energy and excitement level was palpable, and so when the kids came on to do the dancing, one, it takes a lot of courage to get up in front of your peers and dance and like get into it and not just kind of like, oh, self-conscious, I'm cool, I'm just gonna like be up here. No, all of the kids that got up there were into it because the energy was infectious. There was just an energy there that was undeniable. So the seniors won again, and let me back up and say they brought in a all-star judging panel that they brought in. It was like kind of like a professional wrestling where they had like, you know, like the lights were down and they introduced like the celebrity guests, who included Josh Warshauer from Goldworks, who's co-president of the Boys and Girls Club.
Also made the beautiful championship way off ring.
Yes. I mean, the
man of many talents.
Yes. Yes. Josh is providing incredible leadership in this community. And so it's no wonder he was on this all-star judging panel. Mr. Tom Cox, 37 years at Cunha, was on the panel. Naomi Patridge,
aww,
right, who's vice president of the beautification committee. So it was just, you know, wow. And so they judged that the seniors won the dance contest. I thought the sophomores' dance was the best. The music, maybe it was just the music. Great 80s songs like Eye of the Tiger and Back in Black and Thriller, so that was really fun. You know, I will admit I didn't know many of the songs from the aughts that the seniors were doing. Now, the juniors were disqualified from the dance part because they invited people from the crowd to join them on the court for their dance.
What? That they should get a spirit award.
I thought it was a super cool touch because they had the 90s grunge, right?
Yes.
So think about this. You've got cheerleaders, kids in sports uniforms in the gym. Now you've got people in regular clothes doing like dancing. It looked like the video from Smells Like Teen Spirit from Nirvana. So I thought that was a nice touch, but they were disqualified, so seniors won that.
Oh, take that disqualification with pride.
Here's the news that nobody else has. The homecoming king and queen were announced. The king, Giovanni Gio Bautista, and the queen, Violet Holtis. Congratulations to both of them. All of the Xander Merrill, Caden Guevara, Maverick Johnson, Andy Hede were the other princes. Is that what they?
I think they're court.
Gianna Alifano, Sydney Sarabia, Colby Camerad, and Mallory Donegan were the princesses, the ladies, the females. The assembly was amazing. Like I said, excitement and energy. I talked to several students, staff, and parents, and they all said this is the most excitement they've seen at a Half Moon Bay High School assembly since the pandemic. Several of the staff credited the real burst of school spirit and enthusiasm to this year's graduating class, who were in sixth grade that March morning, that March day when we all had to go home in 2020. So these are sixth graders now, graduating seniors, leading this resurgence of school spirit. That's why I say there's hope. Especially the leadership core at the high school. This is a group that brought energy and spirit to these events. They really led by example, and faculty and staff told me that it has inspired the following classes to re-engage with the high school. That's just such a relief. School spirit. So this is more breaking news. Here we go. School spirit is back on Cougar Hill, everybody. Sleep well tonight. Okay. More breaking news. I mean, this is what we do here, right?
Crazy. Oh, that's a type. Is that typewriter?
I don't know. Is that your treadmill that just turned on for some? All right. Coastal Windage has received this exclusive news that the homecoming court will appear in this year's Great Pumpkin Parade, which has historically been a tradition for Half Moon Bay High School, but since the pandemic, now it's back. So another reason to turn out Saturday at noon to see the face of the future. These kids are your future, people. Get out there and give them some appreciation. All right, nice job at the high school. Moving on, a new pumpkin champion is crowned. I believe that our earlier caller, Penny Packer, mentioned that. A literal act of God kept defending and three-time champion Travis Geiner out of this year's leader's jacket during the growing season, which is it's a long process and a delicate process. His pumpkin split. So he was not able. He's here this year.
He did come. That's so cool.
Yeah. But he's not able to compete. We'll
and he was so genuinely, I happened to be in the crowd and near where he was standing for a while. He's so genuinely excited about everybody who has their pumpkins and, you know, like, what a supportive dude.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
And he lives in Anoka with Minnesota, so it's not like he's, you know,
yeah, he didn't jaunt over here.
Yeah.
Maybe he actually, sorry. Normally he has to talk about how, like, the drive with the pumpkin. Like, maybe he actually got to fly.
Oh, wow, okay. Yeah. He's going to be thinking, like, well, maybe I'll just be the celebrity, you know, goat of the pumpkin festival and not have to drive every
day. I hope he got to have a nice, relaxing time.
That's the thing. Like, you're kind of the returning king, you know.
Yeah,
like,
he wore his jacket.
Of course.
It's so cool.
Yeah, exactly. He's got the rings. Brandon Dawson, last year's runner-up, won this year, 2,346. Ironically, his pumpkin last year when he was a runner-up was actually bigger by about 110 pounds or so. Brandon came home with, okay, here's all the things that Brandon came home with. This is why you it's such a big deal and you want to win. $9 a pound, so times 2,346. Get the abacus out. Hold on. Yes, that dip, dip, up. Okay, $21,114 for the pumpkin. Got the Pumpkin King champion ring from Goldworks. Got the Mel Mello Senior Grand Champion Growers Jacket.
Which is a really nice jacket.
I mean, the Masters has the green jacket, but we've got the Mel Mello Senior Grand Champion
so
Growers
beautiful.
Jacket. Yeah, it's, you know, it's an important thing to have. We got a call, just 1 second, caller. Two nights at the posh luxury hotel. Do we really have to put that part in there? The Ritz-Carlton Half Moon Bay and a starring role in the Half Moon Bay Art and Pumpkin Festival Great Pumpkin Parade. He also got $1,000 for the biggest pumpkin from California, since he's from Santa Rosa. The only thing he didn't come home with, he would have gotten another 30K if he had broken the world record. So,
that 3 weeks ago went to UK.
Something to shoot for. Okay, caller. We've got a caller. Who's on the phone this morning?
It's Penny again.
What? Whoa, 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 whoa. What? You only get one windage box.
I'm sorry, but I have to correct you on your pronunciation.
Sorry. Minnesota?
He's from Anoka.
That's what I said.
Minnesota?
Yeah.
No, you said Anoka.
Listen, Penny, I'm not going to argue with you about
it. Capital of the world.
Wait, you just missed my pun there.
No.
Yeah.
Level 10 eye roll.
We don't go to level 10 is reserved for just things that are beyond the pale. You don't want to ruin the scale by going to level 10 unnecessarily.
Anyways, okay. It's Anoka, and the irony is that it's the Halloween capital of the world, so that the guy who grew the biggest pumpkins is from the Halloween capital of the world. It's kind of tongue-in-cheek.
Okay. All right. Well, okay, Penny, you've...
I feel like Montero's going to fight for that award.
Right, right. Okay.
Do they have roundabouts with pumpkins drawn in the middle?
No, but they have Halloween decorations written into their house deed.
Don't poke the tiger. Yeah, right. And don't poke the tiger, Penny Packer. We've been working on getting roundabouts here on the coast side for years. So no, there's not a single roundabout on the coast. There's two traffic circles in El Granada.
There's kind of one. Yeah, I was gonna say there's in El Granada, but it's in the back.
Yeah, and one of them is not actually neither of them are actually circles. They're 3/4 of a circle. You can't drive all... Well, I guess the one in El Granada...
Closer to a half moon.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. All right, Penny Packer, we got to get on. We got the big pumpkin festival. We got to get more information out about that. But okay.
Ciao, ciao.
Anoka, Minnesota. Got it.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, nobody has ever accused me of having great pronunciation to begin with. So that's par for the course. Okay. Thank you, Penny. I just want to give this quote from the GOAT, Travis Greiner, about the pumpkin festival and bringing a giant pumpkin here. It ain't easy. Quote from Travis. It's a 180-day commitment. You start your seeds around April 10th. You pick them around October 10th and rally out here. It's a lot. And these people, how do you get a giant pumpkin here? You have to put it on a trailer with the bouncy road and stuff. So you have to cushion it. You have to baby it. You have to keep it wet. I mean, it's a big deal. Sonny Simmons from Pescadero got the award for the biggest pumpkin on the coast side, 808 pounds.
Oh, wow.
$1,000 for Sonny, right? 808. That's pretty big for coast side. Now, Penny already got her money, but anybody know the last person from the coast side to win the way off championship? I'll just leave that one sitting out there. We'll come back to that. See, we'll give people a chance for some windage bucks. The last person from the coast side to win the championship. Okay, here's a couple of fun facts about the way off itself. Okay, the way off, in addition to Travis Greiner, the GOAT, the way off itself is world famous. You know, this is a big deal. Okay, here's how big of a deal it is. In 2019, Half Moon Bay's Safeway World Championship Pumpkin Way-Off was named the first ever recipient of the Great Pumpkin Commonwealth, the GPC, their World's Top Way-Off Site Award. So they got the first ever Top Way-Off Site Award from the Great Pumpkin Commonwealth. Quote, this inaugural award was presented to the way-off site that has weighed the 10 heaviest pumpkins in the history of the site being part of the GPC, said GPC historian Jack LaRue. Wow. You know you are a robust organization if you have your own historian. So Jack LaRue says that's why they got it. They have weighed the 10 heaviest pumpkins in the history of the GPC. That's pretty impressive. Here's how impressive. In 2018, the GPC sanctioned 114 other way-off sites worldwide. So this our way-off beat out 113 other sites worldwide.
Wee-hee.
Right? Twice, the world record has been set right here on Main Street at our pumpkin way-off. In 1984, Norm Gallagher from Chilan. Okay, somebody from Chilan, give me a call. Whatever. Washington, with a now modest-sounding 612 pounds. That was in 1984. Let's just see the growth of these pumpkins. So that was the world championship in 1984, 612 pounds. Then the GOAT, Travis, in 2023, just a couple of years ago, from Anoka, Minnesota, 2,749 pounds. So So in, what is that, 20 years, the pumpkins went from 600 pounds to 2,700 pounds.
Yeah, I think a couple years ago, they had to get a bigger scale. Like, the pumpkins were outgrowing the scale that they had. And I wonder at what point they have to, they're going to have to do to get, pretty soon they're going to have to get, like, a scale that they use to, like, weigh elephants. Like, we're going to have, like, a zoo-level scale.
Okay, I'm envisioning, like, Cameron doing Robert Shaw from Jaws. Like, we need a shot of just a shot to Cameron, and Cameron saying, we're going to need a bigger scale. Yeah. Cameron, if you're listening, this is your chance, my friend. Okay. Right? Now, as like a promo for next year, right? We're going to need a bigger scale. Okay. I don't, that was so weird. Robert Shaw impersonation, but okay. All right, and now, well, let's see. So we've been talking around it, talking about it. Let's give a rundown on Pumpy Fest 2025. I mean, there's a lot to do. I call it Pumpy Fest. I call it Pumpkin Festival. The formal name is the Half Moon Bay Art and Pumpkin Festival, darling. So just remember that. That's the full name. It's the Half Moon Bay Art and Pumpkin Festival, art being an important part of that because there is a lot of artwork. Anybody who's been to Pumpkin Festival knows that, yes, food and drink are an important part. Events are an important part. We'll get to all of these things in a minute. But there are blocks and blocks of booths that have various types of artwork, local, non-local, handmade, all kinds of really interesting stuff. That's what just makes this Pumpkin Festival more than just a parade or a, you know, an hour long event or something. This is literally a street fair with many layers of things to look at and do and participate in, which is why it has been so successful for 53 years now. Another thing that it's really important that people know is that the Pumpkin Festival, the Half Moon Bay Art and Pumpkin Festival, is an important, if not critical, fundraiser for many Coastside nonprofits and organizations, including, as we were talking with Cameron earlier, the Half Moon Bay Beautification Committee, which organizes the festival. They are all. It's also an important fundraiser for them. 35 nonprofit and community service groups participate in the festival by operating food and game booths. So when you come to Pumpkin Festival and you're spending money, which you will, and there's lots of great things to spend it on. I mean, I kind of have to starve myself for the week before Pumpkin Festival because I just want to like walk one end of the street, Main Street to the other, eating my way through, which I do. So you want to bring your, but when you're peeling out your cash, as I do, or you're tapping with your phone, as you probably do, Crystalline.
Oh, yeah.
Know that you are helping all of these organizations and their constituents. So it's kind of like you're helping sustain so much just by being there and participating.
Yeah.
And you're having fun and having great food and entertainment. For most of these organizations, the festival is their most lucrative fundraising event of the year, enabling them to raise a substantial portion of their annual budget just from this two-day festival. It's estimated that 500,000 simoleons are raised every year by local community service group through food, beverage, game, and parking sales here at the festival. I want to give a shout-out again to Cameron Palmer and Naomi Patridge, President and Vice President of the Beautification Committee. This is setting up to be another amazing festival.
Yes, and also shout out to the group behind them that helps them. Susie, Melmelo, all doing amazing. Joe, all really putting in thousands of hours to make this. And then shout out to Ronan, who helps. He has a festival company. And he's been a part of helping for the last bunch of years. And this is his first year kind of being the head of his part of it, Megalith. And they're doing a fantastic job as well. So nobody really can well, unless you're a part of the festival, it's really difficult to fathom how much goes into it. For our booth, so we've got the two mimosa and wine booths. Ours, if fully staffed with volunteers, is 100 volunteers and takes roughly 200 hours of planning, and that is just for booths. So imagine what the whole festival is. So
yep.
I can't give enough kudos to the people who volunteer their time
yes.
to make this happen.
I will, for the third year, I will be working the Half Moon Bay High School boys basketball team pancake breakfast. This is a major part of the Pumpkin Festival, starting at 7 a.m. on both days, going 7 to noon. Come and get your pancakes, your sausage, your coffee. And per what you're saying, yes, this pancake breakfast, which goes off without a hitch every year, the amount, the hundreds of hours that the folks put into doing this year, the people in charge are Meredith Holden and Jennifer Collins, with help from Mari Holcomb. Hundreds of hours. And the logistics involved are staggering. You've got to estimate how many people, you know, for something like food or wine, right? Some comestible type thing. I think I just made a word up there.
we'll take it.
Yeah, whatever. Nobody's listening anyways, right? So, nobody's listening to me. How many people are going to be there? How many? You can't run out of supplies. I mean, like, you can't at 10 o'clock be like, well, we're out of pancakes. No. So you have the logistics have to be down to the fine point. Then you have to get your legions of volunteers, coordinate them, and something like the pancake breakfast has many stations, right? Mm-hmm. Batter, serving, the picnic area, the grill, out front selling and barking. You know, that's, again, dozens and dozens of volunteers that all have to be organized and given assignments, and then, you know, that has to run seamlessly for hours and hours both days. It is staggering, and that's just one of these booths.
Yeah.
You've got a couple of booths up and down. Like, we're talking thousands of hours if we put everybody's time together. Thousands of hours go into this, and I just want people to know that, because you walk there and it just seems like it just happened. It doesn't just happen.
Mm-mm.
But that's just an honor and a tribute to all the people who do organize it and work at these things, because it does seem effortless.
And I want to, yeah, and I think we should give a huge shout out to each booth volunteers. So there's a lot of the nonprofits. You know, a lot of it is their board members, and then a mix of just community volunteers. I mean, because we need so many volunteers, we literally just, like, put a form out there in the world, and we have so many locals who just very lovingly fill it out and are willing to come help us set up a booth at 6:30 in the morning. Like, that is crazy. Like, there is so many good people in this community that help make this happen, that literally us nonprofits, who are typically a very small staff, right? So, like, my staff is only two. Many of the nonprofits are just kind of like one or two people in a board. And just to have community members be like, well, oh, gosh, you know, no problem. I will brave the traffic. I will get there 4 hours early just so I can get through. I'll ride my bike. I live downtown, or whatever their reason is. They just want to help, and that is one of the most beautiful gifts that anybody can give us nonprofits that, like, to your point, this is our biggest fundraiser. This gives us 2 full months of operating expenses on average. Like, the Chamber only has a limited way of making money, and without the Pumpkin Festival, we would not have nearly anything that we have now.
Well, it is a labor of love, and this is how much I love it. I'm getting up at 4:30 in the morning on both days. 4:30 in the morning, that's my bedtime. That's when I go to bed, and I'm getting up to work both days, and glad to do it, too. So we talked about the Great Pumpkin Parade. That's noon on Saturday. Jesse Sapolo will be the honorary Grand Marshal. We've also got the 47th annual Great Pumpkin Run, like a 5K, I think, or is it 10K? 5 or 10, or both, maybe. It's going to go through, like, around Poplar and that, what's that, Arleta
mm-hmm.
Park?
Shout out to Senior Coastsiders.
Senior Coastsiders, a fundraiser for them. There's a costume contest, Saturday morning at 10, pie-eating contest, pumpkin carving and chainsaw carving with Farmer Mike, the Pumpkin Picasso, live music all weekend from bands like Coast Tribe, the Half Moon Bay High School Marching Band, Extra Large, Red Hot and the Saltines, and many more. Sadly, no Luna Dust, my favorite local band. Well, they have disbanded because they all went away to college. No Luna Dust, but all, 19 different acts on three stages. Okay, another great thing about Pumpkin Festival, wherever you are walking around, there's music playing, people, and that just gets people in a good mood.
Mm-hmm.
And then food! We got the Half Moon Bay High School West Boys Basketball Team Pancake Breakfast, like I mentioned, right at City Hall, in the City Hall parking lot, starts at 7 a.m. Be there. Like I said, I'm working there. I'll see you there. Say hi to me if you see me. The food is delicious. These folks have this down to a T. I mean, pancakes and sausage, look out. They're, you know, kind of like people that volunteer for the wine booth. Oh, you need me to help out with a place where there's pancakes and sausage? I think I can handle that. Also, there will be every form of pumpkin and non-pumpkin food and drink, again, being sold by groups to raise money. For example, clam chowder from the Rotary Club, hot beef sandwiches from the IDES Society, mac and cheese from Mariners Church, corn dogs from the Half Moon Bay High School girls softball team, spam musubi from, and this is two Hawaiian words, so I really like, this is just, people are like, you know, got the popcorn emoji out, like, oh, can't wait to hear Ruben butcher this. So I'm just, the Ho'aki Pu'ani Pu'ai Outrigger Canoe Club, sorry, Outrigger Canoe Club, I tried. Pumpkin milkshake from the Half Moon Bay High School water polo team. Just, I mean, go nuts. Also, on a bit of a sad note, it's your last chance to get a beer at Sacrilege Brewing Company on Main Street. Apparently, they're going out of business. They've been bought or repurposed or something. That location is going to reopen soon as part of Half Moon Bay Brewing Company South, I guess. Mm-hmm. With Half Moon Bay Brewing Company, a past sponsor of this show. Everybody knows I love the aioli there. Okay, couple things, though. And I see this every year. It's just like you can say it, and people just will go, I will ignore that. No pets. No pets. This is supposed to be a no pets thing. I mean, I thought there, you know, the airport was a no pets place, but apparently not. So please, you know, if you could, all possible, leave your peacock comfort animal at home. You know, the thing about the no pets, I know people love to bring their animals, especially their dogs. I mean, we're really talking dogs here, right? Not very few people are bringing their peacocks or their cats to this event. It's loud, it's crowded, it's busy. Dogs have to go to the bathroom, and they will. Okay, that's not pleasant. Also, it's loud and noisy and can be scary for the dogs and causing them to act out. There's going to be lots of kids there. It's just, it's a hassle. Don't put your dog in that situation. Don't put other people in that situation. Lastly, I want to say, as usual, the poster for the festival is an absolute banger, as it always is. Go to coastsidebuzz.com. Michelle Dragony has a great discussion of the poster. It's got historical elements in there that are really tied to the coastside. So once again, the beautification committee, these posters, which are often on display at the library all 53 years, the posters are you know, works of art in themselves. And so go check out this year's poster, which features a side hill plow. And I'll just leave it for you to go to coastsidebuzz.com to find out more about the side hill plow. Okay, I believe, for the first time ever, we actually did our entire show. We got in some good information about Pumpkin Festival, Half Moon Bay Homecoming, Brandon Dawson, new champion, and folks, come to Pumpkin Festival. I know sometimes people are like, I'm just going to skip it. Look at the weather that Cameron ordered. Come, it's going to be amazing. We've got the energy from the high school kids. Again, the kids are back. We're coming back. Let's do this. Okay, we'll see you out there tomorrow. Kristen will be out there. I'll be out there. KHMB will be out there. Look for their live mobile unit and get some KHMB swag. Okay, for Frank the engineer, the interns, including our second in charge engineer, Noah, Crystalline, and myself, and Cameron Palmer, and Cameron's Restaurant. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Coastal Windage, the talk of the coast.